Back in 2009, my favorite Pixar movie was released. It's the movie Up. And as the movie begins, we're introduced to a little boy named Carl and a little girl named Ellie. And they're playing in an old broken down house. And Carl hardly says a word to Ellie because he's just entranced with her sense of adventure. Plus, she's got cute freckles and little, anyway, she even shows him a scrapbook that she's already started with all of her adventures that she's had and notes about adventures that she plans to have because, as was the catchphrase of the day for them, the adventure is out there. Later, as they grow up, they marry and they buy the house that they once played in as children. They build a life together. Like many young couples, they want to start a family. Sadly, Ellie discovers that she can't have children. Together, they make plans to go ahead and travel down to Venezuela, South America, to Paradise Falls, and have the greatest adventure possible together. Of course, that would be a rather expensive trip, and he fills up balloons, and she works at a zoo, so they're not exactly making a lot of money. So they try to save up, but like life, stuff happens, and so every time they think they might have enough money, save up and get some tickets, go down to this Paradise Falls, the money jar is spent on other needed things in their life. Sounds familiar. Still hoping to make their dream adventure a reality, Carl eventually gets a pair of tickets to Paradise Falls. He's about ready to share them with her when his beloved Ellie falls ill and she passes away. Later, toward the end of the movie, Carl is looking over Ellie's old scrapbook. He kind of laments over the fact that she never got to go on her dream adventure. And as he's flipping through the pages of the scrapbook, he comes to what he thinks is the end of the scrapbook, but then he sees that it's not. You see, Ellie had filled up her scrapbook full of all the adventures of her life with him together. And there were photos of their wedding and of the fun times and of some of the bad, those landmark events in their life together. And the last page that Ellie had worked on before she passed, she left a note for Carl. It read, "Thanks for the adventure. Now go have a new one. Loved Ellie." Love Ellie. It's a kid's show, right? It's a beautiful movie. The adventure is out there is the point. For those who are willing to grab onto it and live their life to the fullest, being a wife and a mother is one of the greatest adventures that God has enabled a woman to have. Of course, not every woman can have the same adventures. The adventure is definitely out there for the woman who can marry. And the adventure is out there for the woman who could have children. And the adventure is out there for the couple who can adopt children. The adventure is out there even for the woman who stays single. The adventure is out there. That is, if you choose to embark on the journey. Again, not every woman's going to have the same adventure. But life is the greatest adventure. So live it. Live your life for Christ, and you won't be disappointed. Of course, again, it is Mother's Day. And so whether you are a mother or not, you know, you had a mother. Biologically, right now, that's the only way you've gotten to this world. Okay? And, you're not a mom, but you've done some mothering. Maybe as a school teacher or an auntie or an uncle or a big sister, a mother-like person. I don't know, But mothers are important in our lives. Today, I'd like to go ahead and take a look at the book of Proverbs. And we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. And that's going to be our main text. And before we read this, I think it's good for us to know that this passage of text is at the end of the book of Proverbs. In the beginning of the book of Proverbs, really, we see that Solomon, the wise King Solomon, is there writing to his son, really. And he is writing with his son in mind, Proverbs 1:8. And he's got this idea of giving him this set of guidelines for his life on how to make the right choices in his life, especially when it comes to finding a good, godly wife. See, all throughout Proverbs, Solomon has been telling his son that, well, if you follow this path that leads to life and godliness, things are going to work out. But if you follow this path over here that leads to darkness and death and despair, well, definitely things aren't going to be so good. Okay, so you need to choose what's right, especially when it comes to finding a wife. So this is what Solomon says, starting in verse 10. He says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." Now, again, everything in Proverbs 31 is there to give Solomon's son kind of a checklist. You know, I doubt he's going to find anybody who meets all of these qualifications, but it's a general guideline for a good, godly wife. And we need to remember, again, that we're looking at the Proverbs, and this is a set of guidelines. This is the optimistic sort of thing here. This is what's the right word I'm looking for? This is the model. This is the basic design. But you know, it's what he's shooting for. And for us today, this woman here is really a marvelous model for a good, godly wife, for a Christian wife for us today. This passage can also be, well, maybe the cause for more stress and guilt for a woman than anything else, because she's saying, well, hey, I can't do that. But, you know, keep in mind, again, the passage is idealistic. That's the word I'm looking for. It's idealistic. But that doesn't mean that a woman of faith shouldn't try to do her best to be like the perfect woman, if you will, of Proverbs 31. I mean, after all, aren't we all supposed to be like the perfect man, Jesus Christ? And again, we all know that we can never reach such a level of perfection like Jesus, but we also know that we're supposed to try, knowing that as soon as we let go and let God take control, that things are going to be more and more like the godly models that God has left behind for us in the Scriptures. And so today, it's with all that in mind that we want to go ahead and encourage all of our moms and also remind the rest of us how important our moms are to our families and to the fabric of our very society and to the adventure that's out there. The first thing we want to see from Proverbs 31 is that a good, godly wife is valuable. Valuable. She is valuable. Now, I'm not sure that every mother always feels valued and treasured by society, even by their husbands or by their children, and yet God's word seems to hold a mother in very high esteem because it's such a critical responsibility. For example, a young mother once wrote about the challenges that she faces day to day. She said that one of the hardest things about being a full-time mom is feeling fulfilled in my work. She says she has a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old, and a job outside her home. She says you get raises, paychecks, compliments, promotions, and adult conversation. At the end of the day, she says all she gets is another dirty diaper. So it's tough, but she's not bitter, you see. She was just being honest. Because like any mom will tell you, the work of motherhood just often seems endless. But this mom refuses to throw in the proverbial towel, you know, because she realized that if God had blessed you with children, then you're fortunate and honored. Because we know that children are a blessing from God, Psalm 127:3, and not everybody can have children. And so pouring your life into your children, whether they are biological or not, is a worthy calling. Now, even though our model mom in Proverbs 31 was a working mom, and she might have been really working outside of her home, in addition to the things she did in the house and selling those things, her value didn't come from the money she had. It came from the fact that mothering was more important to her than any amount of money or material possessions. You know, there are a lot of single moms who would give anything in the world to be able to stay at home with their kids, but it's just not possible economically for them. But when a mom is able to make the decision to dedicate her life to the home front, we ought to celebrate her as a champion of family values and not try to say, oh, well, you know, you got a career, you went to college, you got that master's, why don't you put them in daycare? Why don't you be quiet and let her be a mom, you know? It's only going to happen once. Before you know it, you're going to be sending them off to graduate. And that's it, you know? You know, high school, college, own life. Where's that time you can spend in bond? Either way, moms who take care of their families, whether they work outside the home or not, ought to be celebrated for the nurturing environment that they can provide. Again, the magnificent mom of Proverbs 31 is valuable on all fronts. We also see that she is diligent. Again, in Proverbs 31, we see that Solomon gives us 3 examples of her diligence. The first one's found in verses 13 through 15, again, where we're told that she selects wool and flax and works it with her eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. There's a busy lady there. Now, for anyone who's, you know, who has this tremendous task to take on all of that work, it's a lot, definitely. Still, Solomon says she's able to provide food for her family. Out of all the things that she's doing, she's going out to get the food. She's bringing it in. She's putting things together. She's taking care of all the stuff, you know. Every now and then, husbands need to say to their wives who are preparing all this food all the time, 3 little magic words, let's eat out, you know. And when that is impossible, we should always be thankful as husbands or children for any prepared meal that's set before us, because that takes time, it takes work, it takes effort, you know. Say thank you at least, even though you might not like it. Just say thank you. Swallow it. Okay. All right. Solomon also tells us that she has a good sense of financial responsibility. There in verse 16, we're told that she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This is a very, you know, this woman has got some business savvy, okay, that allows her to see opportunities in different situations. Now, again, not every woman is going to have enough money or be business savvy enough to be able to buy property and plant crops and all that stuff. But the important principle here is that she is a good steward of what she had and was wise about how to invest what God had blessed her with. Okay. I remember Katie Schell. I always think of Katie Schell. If you don't know who she is, that's okay. She was here a few years ago. To me, she'd always be Coupon Katie. And that's because I remember that she had this binder full of clip coupons and notes of all these deals and lists of grocery stores and everything on these cards that she had, okay? And she could go into a store, no lie, with no money, and come out with a shopping cart full of stuff and money back. And I still don't know how she did it, but she did it. I thought, wow, that's cool. I need to learn that trick. Anyway, the woman of Proverbs 31 is able to provide, and she's a shrewd steward. And in verses 17 through 19, we're told that she's a vigorous worker. She sets about, it says, her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. That's for, like, you know, making thread and stuff. Then down in verse 27, Solomon says that she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, this is one woman who is not sitting on her couch, binge-watching Netflix and eating chocolate chip cookies all day while tweeting nonsense on Twitter or posting duck faces on Instagram. She's not doing that, okay? She works hard, and her vigorous work is a testimony to her diligence. Simply put, mothers do many unseen tasks, some much more than others, that are often taken for granted. Again, the marvelous mom of Proverbs 31 is diligent and valuable. We also see that she's compassionate. There in verse 20, we're told that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. I think that's amazing. Not only is this woman taking care of things at home, she's taking care of her children, she's taking care of her husband, she's taking care of business, but she's also helping to take care of others. A mom who does that today is taking the time to be on the lookout for teachable moments in order to model and encourage compassion for her children. Good thing for a mom to do. Again, the masterful mom in Proverbs 31 is compassionate, diligent, valuable, and she's also respected. She's respected. Down to verse 25, Solomon says this about this wonderful woman. He says she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. I like that last part about laughing myself, really. You know, because it couples this idea of dignity with a sense of humor. In other words, it shows us the soft side, if you will, of a strong woman. You see, to be a godly mother or a godly grandmother or a godly great-grandmother or aunt or cousin or sister, whatever, it doesn't mean that you need to be mean, you know. Still, she can carry herself with a sense of modesty and confidence and quiet dignity, but at the same time never lose her ability to laugh at herself or even her kids sometimes and just be real, you know, because stuff happens and it's funny. Okay, so laugh about it, okay? All right, don't stress over it. Give a little smile. Solomon also says that the respect that this woman earns is also the result of the words she says. There back in verse 26, we're told that she shares words of wisdom. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. All right. Think about it. Have you ever been out to a grocery store or a restaurant or some other public place and you overhear some rather brutal comments that some moms make about their children or to their children? I just kind of cringe when I hear that, you know? Children look up to their moms. And so the words of a mother can either encourage or they can actually destroy the self-image of a child. That's why moms always need to choose their words carefully when speaking to their children. Back over in Proverbs 12 and in verse 18, Solomon tells us that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Obviously, a mom should have a tongue that brings healing. And not for licking, but for speaking, obviously. She's not a puppy. Over the years, our moms have made us do all kinds of things when you think about it, right? Things that we didn't like to do. Everything from brushing our teeth to taking out the trash to cleaning our rooms to doing our homework and even going to church, you know? And now that we're older, we could look back with a bright smile because of brushing our teeth, a healthy lifestyle because of the good foods that we eat, a good work ethic because of the chores we did, and a life in Christ because of our moms. And so the mom of Proverbs 31 is respected. Solomon also tells us that she is appreciated. She's appreciated. The reality TV show Survivor made its debut back in 1997. That's the year Thomas was born. Boy, it's been a life of Survivor after that. Anyway, Survivor's still going strong. I can't believe this show is still on. Anyway, it's on in one form or another ever since. And have you heard about the next Survivor season that they're working on for the fall? Apparently, they've got six men that are dropped off on an island with one SUV, four kids for 6 weeks. And each kid plays two sports, takes a music or dance lesson. There's no access to fast food. Each man must take care of those four kids, keep them alive, keep his house clean, correct all their homework, complete science projects, cook, and do laundry. And on top of that, the men have to, they've only got access to television and the internet only when the kids are asleep and all the chores are done. And only that, but there's only one TV and one computer between them and no remote control or Wi-Fi. They must also be able to get a four-year-old to eat peas. They also have to shave their legs and wear makeup on a daily basis. That makes it for an interesting show. Anyway, they'll be judged on how well they can make an Indian hut model with six toothpicks or tortilla and one magic marker. And the winner gets voted off the island and gets his old job back. You know, we tend not to notice all that moms juggle and accomplish until one day when something goes wrong, maybe a shirt doesn't get ironed or she forgets to send the lunch or the lunch money off to school or she gets sick. You know, then we start to complain about things. Why wasn't my shirt ironed? Where's my lunch money? You know, the truth is our moms do a lot to help keep the family functioning. And really just on level ground, keep things afloat, really. So Solomon says that mothers are to be appreciated. Verse 28, he tells us that her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband's also, and he praises. Now notice, if you will, that the text says that her children arise and call her blessed. In other words, they arise and then they bless her, right? I suppose one way that her children could actually bless her is if they arise up off the couch and go bless her in the kitchen. Help out some. Or how about they arise up out of bed and don't make her have to drag you out of bed? Or how about they arise up, you know, on their feet and take care of some chores? Not that I'm speaking from experience. But anyway, not only do our, you know, children bless this woman here, they bless their mother, but we're told that her husband also appreciates her. Dun, dun, dun. Finger points both ways, right? Verse 29, we see here that he says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. In other words, he's saying, you go, girl, right? You know, I don't know what you do, but you do well. You're the best, or as Ralph Crandon would say, maybe you're the greatest. You know, he's just saying you're number one. And we need to praise our moms more, you know. Tell them that they're doing a good job, you know. Again, the mother of Proverbs 31 is appreciated. She's appreciated. And lastly, we're told that this wonderful wife, this marvelous mom, this magnificent mother is godly. Taking a look at our last three verses, again, starting with verse 29, but this time we'll go all the way through the end of verse 31. We read that the husband's praise again goes, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And then Solomon adds these notes for us, that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You see what he just said again? He said that, you know, she could be the prettiest thing in the world, but if she doesn't have the Lord, then those looks are only going to go so far. That's true. You see, the godly woman manages to keep her life and its schedules in their proper perspective. She could do all that, you know, we said that she can do. She could be valuable. She could be diligent. She could be compassionate, respected, and appreciated. But if God is not the Lord of her life, then it's really all for vain. But with the Lord as the center of it all, then it all becomes worth it. It all has meaning. And her beauty, even on a bad hair day, still gonna shine from within because of Jesus. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. He says, your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And again, that doesn't mean that a woman can't wear jewelry or braid her hair. It only means that a woman's beauty isn't just skin deep. That your real beauty should shine from your insides out and not be limited to the outside you, you see. There's a wonderful story, I think, that illustrates this point well. It seems that one year during a vacation Bible school at a church, they had a little closing program, you know. And the children were all lined up in the front to show their parents what they had learned throughout the week. And the smaller children, you know, sang songs like Jesus Loves Me and stuff like that. And everything was going really well until they came to this one little girl. And she was supposed to recite a passage of scripture, of course, that she had memorized for that week's VBS. And when she got to the front of the crowd, the sight of all those people just caused her to get stage fright. She couldn't speak. Her knees started to knock, you know, and she just froze up. She completely forgot her verse, and she couldn't say a single word. Well, she saw her mother there toward the front, and the little girl looked to her mom for some help, and her mother leaned forward and whispered the opening part of the verse, which is, I am the light of the world. And the little girl's face lit up, and she smiled with confidence as she boldly proclaimed, my mother is the light of the world. And of course, you know, everyone in the audience had a smile on their face, yet they had to reflect upon that important truth, right? That a mother is the light of her child's world. So moms and those who mother, we need to remember that. That you are the light of your children's world, so we need to be careful to let your light shine before men and children so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Again, the adventure is out there. And any woman brave enough can embark on this God-sanctioned adventure. But if you do, just know this, mothering requires everything. And eventually, everything given plus little replenished equals desperately empty. And the only one who can truly fill you back up and enable you to have the kind of adventure that God meant for you to have is to be filled back up with Jesus. No one can fill that place designed by God for himself. You see, the goal of mothering is to be a woman of God to your children, a woman of God intimately connected to Jesus Christ, a woman of God who can love and give from the overflowing cup that only God can fill. You see, anyone who's ever tried to do everything from their own strength or from their own force of will or even from their own intelligence and wisdom will eventually end up with an empty cup. All of us need to be constantly filled up with only with what God can offer us through Jesus Christ. And so today, if there's anyone who needs to come forward during the invitation song, maybe to obey the gospel and become a Christian, we pray that you make that choice today and to be filled with Jesus. To believe in Jesus as the Christ, repenting of your sins, being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, and so be saved. Or maybe you'd just like to come forward today and request some prayer or maybe some other need. You're always welcome to do that as together we stand and sing.